What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast number 209, Thorough Cardiac Screenings. Our guest is Paul Waller. He is working with Wimbledon Athletics, and he's going to talk to us about the program there that they have for secondary school testing for cardiac screening and things like that, which is obviously a very important topic. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting over here, we've got
Joshua,
Daniela,
and Tiana.
All right. So Tiana will be asking some of the questions there. If you want to join our conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. This one will be cardiac screening. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cardiac screen. I'm sorry, I said screening earlier. So cardiac screen. hashtag DSMB. That's where Destiny should be looking, seeing if anybody's commenting. I know we got Katmar in the chat room. There's a couple other people who we got. Who else we have, Daniela?
Carlos and Jason.
All right. Thanks for joining us live. And we'll see what Paul has to offer and how you can help benefit your school by providing these cardiac screens. Without much further ado, we're going to get right to it. Tiana.
Paul, would you please tell us your athletic trainer's story?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been, I started, I guess, as a student, kind of like similar to y'all. I started when I was 14 years old in a real small town up north of Dallas. It's not so much of a small town anymore. Salina, Texas, which is now north of Frisco. And I've known since I was 14 what I've wanted to do pretty much my whole life. I went to college at University of Texas at Arlington, was a student athletic trainer there, and went on when I graduated to had to do the head athletic training position at Robert E. Lee High School in Tyler, Texas. Left there, went on staff with FCA for 2 years, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and went back into the profession, was at Ennis High School for 1 year, and then I left Ennis and went on to Mansfield Timberview High School, opened that school in 2004, resigned from that high school in 2013 to pursue and lead the ministry that I have been leading since 2009, Christian Sports Medicine Alliance. And then I came on staff as the secondary school testing coordinator for Wimbledon Athletics here in the state of Texas back in, I guess, October. And have been slowly pursuing this and sharing our program with area high school athletic trainers in the high school setting.
All right. So talk to us about why the cardiac screenings are so important.
Well, research and data is showing us that sudden cardiac arrest is the number one killer and number one cause of death in student athletes across America. On average, the data is showing that at least one student is dying every 3 to 4 days across the country, and it's pretty much done. It can be prevented or be detected through proper cardiac screening.
All right. So you said one student in 3 days is dying. Now, is that only related to sudden cardiac arrest, or is that just one student in general?
That is related to sudden cardiac arrest, yes.
So every third day, and is that just the school year, do you know, or is it throughout the summer as well, like the entire school year?
Well, the research that I'm reading, it doesn't really necessarily differentiate between a school year or a calendar year. I'm assuming that it's a calendar year.
Okay. All right, so that's roughly 121 kids a year dying of sudden cardiac arrest?
Correct.
All right, so then...
Then would you please tell us about the program at Wimbledon? What is it offering to these students?
Our the Wimbledon Athletic Program is the only program in the country that does the type of testing that we do. We use the most comprehensive and extensive testing program in the country. And when I say that, what I mean by that is that we do three different tests on every single student athlete. We do an EKG. We also do an echocardiogram, and we also do a vascular ultrasound on all student athletes. And that's what makes us different than other organizations, other businesses, or foundations that are only doing EKGs. This is the reason why we do three different tests, because one test may pick up one and it may not pick up other things, to where if you do another, if you follow that up with, say, an echocardiogram, you're going to be able to pick up things that an EKG would not be able to pick up, and vice versa.
All right, so Carlos asked a good question. Is the one student every 3 days, is that only in high school or does it include all ages?
That has been shown to be ages, I mean, roughly between 13 and 25. And that's usually roughly around the middle school, high school, and college level.
All right, so basically when there's athletics, because they're not really right. athletics in elementary or right. as what we call middle school, which is like fifth right. and sixth grade. So, okay, so then let's break down this a little bit more. Talk to me, what is an EKG, what is an echo, and what is the vascular ultrasound? So kind of define those for me.
Sure. Your audience correctly. The EKG measures the electrical activity of the heart. The echocardiogram uses sound waves to create a moving picture of the heart. The test for us is non-invasive and involves no radiation exposure. The vascular ultrasound that we use is also non-invasive imaging to see how the blood flows through the arteries and veins, measuring the speed of the blood flow and revealing any blockages that may be present.
Okay, so why is one of them not sufficient?
Well, when you're looking at the EKG itself, if that's all you're doing, you're just measuring the electrical activity of the heart. So an EKG will pick up, you'll be able to pick up anything that, in an echocardiogram will be able to take that one step further. You know, and obviously we know, Jeremy, as being athletic trainers, that there's, when you're just doing an EKG, you have a little bit higher risk of having false positives. And that's one of the big pushbacks, I guess, of not doing cardiac testing is because of the false positives that that are being revealed. So that's the reason why we always back it up with a echocardiogram, because we want to make sure that we are getting a complete cardiac workup of every single student athlete.
All right. I've heard of the EKG and the echo, and I hadn't really heard of the vascular ultrasound. So that's, again, good there to show, like you said, shows the blood flow of the heart and how everything is moving properly. So
yes. And it shows we with our the way that we do our program is that we bring in all the technicians that are registered and certified sonographers. So that's all they do. I mean, this is what they do for a living. And they are very well trained in looking for any blockages, looking for any thickening of the arteries and veins to when they're doing a vascular ultrasound.
Okay, so you just said that you bring in all the technicians, all the everything. That was my next big question is, what all is involved for the athletic trainer?
For the athletic trainer, basically, there's minimal effort put on their part. What we do is we you know, like for instance, if we were at Pasadena at your high school, you would have you have access to all the student athletes, all the parents' contact information. We would supply you with all of the resources and marketing tools and resources that you would need to get the information into the hands of your parents to inform them of what you're doing. And we would just ask that you help promote and help with getting parents to register their student athlete, their son or daughter with our testing program.
Okay, so if I say, all right, Paul, let's do this, then you're going to send me the promotional materials. You're going to send me the any sort of waivers or forms that need to be completed.
Right. And everything is done online. Everything, all the registration and stuff is done online. So you would send out basically it's a standard letter that we've formatted, and you can adjust it and edit it to meet your needs there at Pasadena. And within that letter, there will be a unique link that we will create for you specifically for Pasadena High School. And when you send out that letter, the parents will click on that link. It will send them to a registration page. They will register their son or daughter, filling in all their information, all their demographics. The way that we are able to do this and the way we're able to do all the testing that we're able to do is we file everything through the parents' primary insurance. So they fill out all the insurance information. It's all secured. And then they will go back and there's a scheduling link where they can schedule their son or daughter on the days that that we're going to be offering the testing. They can select the time. There's also other, there's a Q&A, there's a fact sheet in there that will answer all the questions about insurance and waiver forms and so forth and so on.
All right, so how do we know whether the kids have insurance or not? I mean, obviously everybody's supposed to,
right.
But here at Pasadena, we do have, you know, illegal immigrants, and so they're not, from what I understand, they're not filing taxes because that kind of thing. And so how does that work?
Well, the way that works is that we are trying to, we were trying to get, say, if we test, and I always use the number of 100. I'm saying we use, you test 100 kids at your school. We will try to get at least 60% of those children to have insurance, whether it be Blue Cross, Aetna, Cigna, Humana, and so that would be able to, because we bring in all the technicians. All the technicians work specifically for us. They're not contracted out by another company. They are on staff with Wimbledon Athletics. They bring in all the all their equipment. We fly all that in. We provide all the treatment tables. We provide all the privacy screens, all the privacy gowns, all the ultrasound gels for our equipment, and just the administration cost. We'd, like I said, we try to get at least 60% of the testing population that we're testing at that school to have insurance.
All right. So again, how do I know that? Do I only know that if they go on there and fill it out? Because as they do their online forms here, we use Rank One, and you know, it asks for insurance stuff, but sometimes, you know, that's the kid filling it out because their parent doesn't have access to a computer or doesn't. Chooses to let the kid fill it all out and then just sign it themselves.
Sure.
So how do we verify that?
We do the verification. We do all the verification in-house. When they register, we'll do all the verification of insurance in-house with our company.
All right. So what if I say, okay, let's do this. You send out the flyers and I set it all up, but then come back and only 30% of my kids have insurance.
That would be on a case by case basis. We would have to we'll discuss it depending on the how many actual tests we're doing.
Gotcha. Okay, and so then, you know, you said you file with the insurance. So is there anybody that would have to pay, or is that again a case by case basis? But I mean, just give me a generalization here.
Okay. We accept, the way we do on insurance is we accept whatever the insurance deems is usual and customary. There is an opportunity for a parent if they're in financial hardship, if they're in a financial situation where they're not able to, maybe they haven't met their deductible, or they are, say they're on Medicaid, or they, you know, other types of insurance that are really not going to pay anything whatsoever, regardless of what is being done. They have an opportunity to request a waiver, and it will give our company the opportunity to write that remaining balance off.
All right. So you talked about y'all bring everything in. What if the athletic trainer is not a school employee? So they're a contract athletic trainer, or maybe there's a high school that doesn't have an athletic trainer that is interested in doing this.
We could work through the contract athletic trainer, but we're going to obviously have to work through the administration of the school, whether it be the principal or the superintendent or, you know, whoever would be able to make those decisions.
All right, so
we obviously want to work through an athletic trainer, just even if it's a contract person, just because that athletic trainer would have a medical knowledge, and so we can pass that information of the test results on to the athletic trainer, so they would have access to it. Because obviously, you know, you need to have access to test results and to know if there's any findings that have happened during the testing process. If we do have a finding, if one of your student athletes does have an anomaly that does come up, we as a company, our chief cardiologist, Dr. Artell, in our office will specifically call the parent and talk to that parent about the finding that has been found during the testing process. They will receive a written report of the process. Also, the athletic trainer will receive all of the test results in a very secured portal that that athletic trainer will have access to distribute to the parents in a secured way.
All right. So in that registration form, there's something in there saying that the athletic trainer can have access to this easily?
Yes.
Because I know that, you know, a lot of the stuff now we're worried about HIPAA and, you know, whether or not I have permission to talk to the nurse about the note that she wrote for my athlete. So, so that's all good there?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So it sounds like it's a pretty package deal. It's like it should be pretty simple. What's some of the stuff that you've seen so far from people that have done it, some of the feedback?
Well, we've tested at, we're brand new in Texas. I mean, really brand new. I mean, this will be, we're testing at Stephenville High School next week after next. And Mike Carroll is obviously the athletic trainer there. We're testing his high school, and he'll be the fourth high school in the state of Texas that have been tested with our program. We tested our first high school at Saginaw High School, and Rick Redden and Emily Young. The second high school was Richland High School with Dean Brockstemeyer and Cynthia West. And we just got through testing Shelton School in Dallas, which is a school for kids with learning differences, and Crystal Cunningham. Each high school that I have found, even just in talking to them, whether they test with us or not, each high school that I've dealt with and talked to all have their challenges, whether it be a school with kids with learning differences or a school with kids that maybe are lower income or do not have the insurance, or you know, they have insurance, but it's not the best, you know, it's not the best in the world, or they're high deductibles. So we just really try to work with, obviously, the athletic trainer, work with those parents to see how we can, as a company, provide them with a service of testing their student athlete with in my opinion, the best test in the country.
How often are we eligible to do this? Could we do this every year? Could we do this every semester? How does that work?
You could do it really as many times as you want. Ideally, obviously, we want to do it every year. We don't want to be a one-hit wonder. We don't want to come in and just do it in one time and get out, because you're always going to have move-ins. You're going to have kids that did not participate in athletics one semester, and now they want to participate in athletics. And you're always going to have freshmen. If you don't want to test in middle school, you know, eighth graders right off the bat, and you want to test just high school, well, then you could come back the next testing period and test all incoming freshmen, and promote it again to the student athlete population that may not have tested the first time around, but have been considering it, and now they want to test, and you could put them in with that second testing.
Okay, so most likely scenario would be when we're already having athletic physicals that day. Is this something that could go in with athletic physicals, could happen at that same time?
It could. It would be a challenge just because of the simple fact that our test, doing three different types of tests, if you're just doing an EKG, for instance, an EKG takes about 10 to 15 minutes. The longest process of doing an EKG is hooking up the leads and making sure all the leads are on correctly. The test process for an EKG is really about 30 seconds to a minute and a half, really, I would think, about 2 minutes. So our test takes about 60 to 75 minutes, because we're doing all three tests. We're doing the EKG, we're doing the echo, we're doing the vascular ultrasound. So it does take an extensive amount of time. So that's the reason the schools that we've gone into, we haven't had any problem with the administration. Once we explain it to them and why we're doing it this way, it takes about, each technician can do about 8 to 10 students in a 8 to 10 hour day. So it takes, I try to suggest for athletic trainers to go at least 3 days of complete testing. We just have to work it out with the administration to ask them if it would be okay if we pull them out of class for an hour, hour and a half, and then we send them back.
Wow.
And, you know, we didn't have any problems with it. And, you know, at Richland, we tested 153 kids at Richland High School. And once we explained it to them, once Dean was able to explain it to the administration, they were completely fine with it.
All right. So a school like mine, where last year we had a kid, who knows if this testing might have helped, might have detected something, right? We can't go back and look at that. But does something like that encourage people to take this test, or does it impact it in any way?
Well, honestly, I think it can run both ways. I mean, I think that some people, if they use it correctly and use it as an educational resource, you use that situation, that incident that you had at your school, to want to educate your parents on what happened as much as you can tell them, and also the importance of cardiac screening and why that student athletes need to be tested. And then obviously let them make the decisions. There are some people out there, and I've had discussions with them that They believe that by using that type of that situation is a scare tactic into getting our program into high schools. But I don't necessarily believe that. Not when the statistics and the data show that one student every 3 to 4 days is dying of sudden cardiac arrest, and it's a test. It's testing that can be that can detect things like this.
All right. Have there been any schools that denied it? Or rejected?
Oh yeah. I'm sure there has. I mean, you know, from us, I've had several athletic trainers that just didn't want to do it for, you know, they didn't want to add one more thing to their plate. I get it. I've been there. You know, working in high schools for almost 20 years, I get it. I know. And we just have to, you know, okay, and we just have to go on. There's some that did not want to do it just for the because of the insurance situation, that they would know. They know that none of their kids would have insurance, or you know, so they just denied it. And you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just, I mean, it's, we just have to respect them for that.
Yeah, that was one of the things. You know, it's 3 days of me testing, but really what it is a couple of days of me planning, and then you guys come in, set up, and everything's already,
yeah, I mean, it's
rolling.
You're not the one doing, I mean, really during the 3 days of testing, what you're helping us do is this. I mean, you're going through your normal day of activity, and there's planning on the front end of it from your standpoint of getting, you know, getting the parents to register, getting the parents to sign their kids up. The days of testing is to help me, because I would probably be there at your school as your testing coordinator to help me make sure the kids are getting out of class. But it's not something that is going to bog you down. We're going to have to be sitting, doing the testing, or sitting there doing things for 8 to 10 hours. I mean, you're going to be able to go to practice. You're going to be able to do your normal routine because you're going to have not only probably myself, but you're also going to have a lead sonographer that's there that works, that's going to be a very knowledgeable. She or he will be the one that will keep everything flowing, keep all the other sonographers on task. And if there's any problems that arise, then you will have me there, or you'll contact me, and I'll be able to expedite the situation or the problem.
All right, so, you know, obviously kids get out for the blood drive, either to work it or to go donate blood. And it would seem that this should be just as valuable. I mean, you're not donating blood to save somebody else's life like you are with the blood drive, but you're doing a screen that could save your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And we do, I mean, there's opportunities, and there's perks, for lack of better terms. Back to the athletic training program. If we're able to test, 100 kids on your campus, that high school athletic training program will receive a brand new cardiac science. They're brand new, and they just came out with. I'm not really familiar exactly the model number, but they're brand new, and they just came out with an AED. Also, there's we actually give back to the school the facility usage fee. So whatever your athletic program would charge for, say, a playoff game in the gymnasium, we would be able to pay the school back for the usage of their facilities. So we're not just coming in taking up space. We're actually going to be able to be able to pay for the facility itself, and also you'll be able to get an AED out of it.
So what if we don't charge you a facility usage fee, but it's still just a donation that you guys make back?
That would be something we'd have to talk about with the school. I've never had that question. Most high schools that I've ever dealt with have a facility usage fee, just to use their facility, whether it's the athletics or just the cafeteria or whatever.
I assumed, since if I was hosting it, if I was putting it on for the kids, that there wasn't, but I don't know that the blood drive doesn't, because I don't really deal with that at all. So,
right.
Interesting. And then you said if there's 100 kids tested, you donate back donate the AED.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. We've signed a partnership with Cardiac Science.
Gotcha. All right. What if someone wants to find out more? What are they going to do?
They can email me directly at pwaller, W-A-L-L-E-R, at dxtesting.com. Or they can, if they are on Facebook, I'm on Facebook, Paul Waller. So they can hit me up on Facebook or just email me directly, and I can get all the information back to them. Just put their contact information in so I can call them or email them back.
Pwaller at dxtesting.com?
Yes.
All right. So, again, that's about the thorough cardiac screening that could be available. I had written that it was for low-income schools, but it's not. It doesn't matter whether it's income, low-income or not, right?
No, huh? It doesn't.
Right, because what you're really looking for is just the insurance, students with insurance.
Right.
Gotcha. one thing we didn't mention is what about CHIPS? Because some of these kids have the CHIPS insurance. Does that count?
No, because CHIPS doesn't. I mean, CHIPS, Medicaid that we've experienced doesn't. Medicaid especially doesn't pay anything. I mean, they won't pay for an aspirin. But we can file on it. We will file on it. We will file on Medicaid. But as a company, we necessarily won't be reimbursed for it. We will be able to file on it. We just may not be able to be reimbursed on it.
Gotcha. So it really should be as easy as, hey, principal, we would really like to do this. What are your thoughts? You know, or here's what we would like to do. Here's why we would like to do it. Here's when we would like to do it. Okay, we got your approval. Now we're going to send it out to all the students, get them registered, get that date scheduled, and then once they're registered, we just handle the admins. So do you guys have a process for like sending out notes, or would we need to provide student workers for getting kids out of class, or?
Probably you would have to have a standard note to get out of class. What Dean did at Richland High School is that he worked specifically with, because we'll give you a daily, say if you did it over 3 days, say it on Monday, you would have Monday's schedule. And what he did is he took Monday's schedule to the lady that runs like the attendance office. And she was able to contact via email and send their student aides each on that specific day to make sure those kids got out of class. They'd bring the note down to us, and we would do the test, our sonographers or myself or whoever would be able to sign it, and then send them back with the time they left and the time they arrived and the time they left. And they also, Dean actually did a sign-in sheet so the kids, when they came in, they signed in what time they came in and signed in what time they came out.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about some of the best practices that you've seen so far. As far as the administration, because like you said, an athletic trainer is thinking, like, I've already got this and this and this. And, you know, for us, we don't have spring football. So it's like, oh, yes, May, it's freedom. Right. And so just a little bit about the things that may be stopping somebody from doing it.
Well, I think, you know, and what I have really pushed with us is to start the process about 30 days out. And the reason why is because it kind of draws it out from not only the registration process, but it also doesn't put so much pressure and stuff on the athletic trainer all at one time. So you're not having to do everything in 1 week. You can spread it out and get things lined up and get everything in a row over that 1 month period of time. So one, like I said, it also gives you more opportunities to educate your parents on the need of cardiac testing, get them to sign up because, you know, parents, you know, they're busy. They may or may not read their email for a week, their personal email. They may forget about it. But we just ask the athletic trainer to continue to put that in front of them. But then again, like I said, it gives them the opportunity to not to have to do everything at one time. It kind of strings it out so they're able to kind of plan. And so the day of testing, they're not overwhelmed with, or the week leading up to the test, they're not overwhelmed with things to do. And that's what Dean did. Like I said, I use Dean as an example for everything just because we had such a positive test, testing time with him because he was really proactive. He was proactive about getting it done. He did it over about a 4 week period of time of getting all the parents involved, getting the booster clubs involved, contacting his coaches, educating his coaches, getting his coaches to send out information, But like I said, instead of doing it over 1 week, he did it over 4 weeks, which really helped him not have to do so much at one time.
So if I wanted to call and schedule this, how much lead time do I need? Do I need to say, hey, Paul, I want to try and do this 4 weeks from now? Or do I need to say, hey, I want to do this at the beginning of August. So give me the stuff so I can get it approved and then we can get it scheduled.
So if you wanted to do it, as I say, if you told me right now, so Paul, I want to do it at the beginning of August, we would already start the process of you would get our high school welcome kit, what we call our high school welcome kit. You would already have the lease agreement, the facility lease agreement with you. You'd already have the site survey. And we really, if you do it that far in advance, we still really recommend the athletic trainer getting everything filled out, back to me so I can get it to our home office so you can get all the information that you would need to start promoting it. One, because we are not just doing Texas. We don't do just secondary schools. We do Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA schools all across the country. And some of the schools that we're testing just in the college are big-time schools. I mean, we do the University of Texas Arlington. We do Stephen F. Austin. We do Purdue University. We're doing Georgia Southern, Texas, I think it's Texas Wesleyan or Texas Women's here in the Fort Worth area. So we're doing... you know, just on the college level, we're doing a lot of big time schools with a lot of athletes. So we want to make sure that we get you on the books so we can make sure we have our the proper number of sonographers that we can send to your school to get the testing done.
All right. So here at Pasadena, we are our official healthcare provider is Memorial Hermann. Does that cause a problem with you guys coming in and doing that? Or like Kat Marr said that she might not be able to do it because they're on contract with Methodist.
Right. That would be totally up between you and Memorial Hermann. Is it Memorial Hermann? Yeah, Memorial Hermann.
Yeah, we're Memorial Hermann.
Yeah, it would be completely up between y'all. You know, the thing is, I mean, if they want to do the testing themselves, that'd be great. But I haven't heard of a hospital that's going to come in and do all three tests on every single on your student athletes. We're not in competition with your hospital. I would look at it trying to help the hospital and help your team physicians and help them during that process. We're definitely not trying to compete with a hospital.
All right, so Kat, if you don't mind, type in there, have you discussed this as an option with your hospital rep, and what were they saying why you couldn't do it? Is it because they can't talk with the cardiologist or whatever? So if you get a chance, type that in there and I'll try and ask Paul that question. So all right, so you're kind of on track there, giving me some tips on the things that we should do to help make the process easier. You said you have a lot of that written down already. What other things can you think of to ease my mind in having this done so that I'm not burdened with, like you said, one more thing,
yeah. It's just, it's really, again, it goes back to communication. It really is knowing that, Jeremy, you're going to have access to me anytime you want to talk to me if you have questions. Mike Carroll and I have been on the phone. I've talked to actually Mike Carroll more in the last 3 or 4 weeks getting ready for his testing process than I have in probably 10 years. And I've known Mike ever since he's been at Stephenville. But him knowing that he has access to me, he has access to the lady that I work for in the home office. He can email me. I can get an answer back to him the same day of questions, and he's had questions. And the same thing with Dean. Dean and I were talking on those point in time. He and I were talking 2 or 3 times a day with questions that parents had. You know, and it's if the parents understand that, hey, I don't know the answer to that, but I can find out and I'll get right back to you. You know, once you talk to them, I can call them or our home office can call them because they're going to inevitably have questions about insurance. They're going to be questions about the testing process. They may have, you know, technologically, you know, you and I were having problems getting on Skype. So they may have issues with the registration process. Well, that shouldn't be a deterrent to them signing their child up. You know, it's just a matter of letting you know if there is a problem, then you let me know and then we'll figure it out. We'll get their student registered and get them set up.
Okay. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. I just said, hey, Paul, let's talk about this thing. So, and there you are, you're jumping on Skype. So another question that I have is, why did you choose Wimbledon? Why did you decide to work for this company?
Actually, I think that is, to be honest with you, Jeremy, I think they actually decided they wanted, they called me. I had, you know, been in contact with a, with another person within the company that, back in the spring of last year that, this person and I were talking, and it just didn't, the partnership, the relationship didn't work out. And, then Wimbledon, calls me and asked me if I would be interested in, maybe taking over the, taking on the role of a secondary school testing coordinator. One, because I'm established in Texas. I mean, I know so many athlete trainers just in Texas alone. And one, because of the ministry with Christian Sports Medicine Alliance, and my network is grown. And I think that I'm pretty good at building relationships with athlete trainers. I know what we go through on a daily basis because I've been there. I've been in the athlete training room for almost 20 years, and so I understand the time constraints. I understand the daily grind that we go through, and I think that may have had something to do with it. But I have personally lost a coach to a heart attack. He was much older, but I've lost a referee during a soccer match to a heart attack. I've lost two students. Not necessarily to sudden cardiac arrest, but I've lost students, I've lost coaches, I've lost a referee, and it's just become not a job. It's become really a passion for me to make sure that, and I have, you know, with the ministry of so many high schools around the country, or have dealt with this situation, and it's something I think that needs to be done. I think the kids need to be tested.
All right, so you're talking about traveling, you know, with Christian Sports Medicine, you travel to other countries often. What kind of testing is done for athletes in other countries?
There's nothing that I know of. I've been all over the world and in my short amount of time, and I've never seen or heard of, you know, just the normal athlete, you know, in a country being tested like this. I mean, that would be a great thing if they would, I mean, if they had that opportunity. But, you know, even most countries that I've gone into have never used or even seen an AED. So, yeah, and that's a big deal. I mean, most of them have never seen an AED. They wouldn't know how to go about getting one. They wouldn't know how to use one even if they had one. There's a lot of them that coaches are not even CPR certified. They don't even know how to do CPR. We've got a long road ahead of us.
So you said you've been all over the world. Where is all over the world?
Well, I've been in Africa 9 times. I've been all over the continent of Africa. I've been there 9 times. I've been to Belize. I've been to the Dominican. I was in Cuba last summer. And I will be traveling back to Belize this coming July. I believe July 10th. We'll be down there for about 7 or 8 days to look at some opportunities of working with some existing ministries and the Olympic Committee down there and some other national athletes and national organizations, sports organizations, to possibly use an existing facility that's already been constructed, or build one from the ground up, a sports medicine, sports performance facility there in Belize on some campgrounds that are being used. And the gentleman that runs this campground has a vision for that. And to build a sports medicine, sports performance facility where he could bring in the Belize Olympic athletes, their national teams, their club teams, to help and to give them access to facilities where they could train properly, to have proper training, have proper health care, have proper, you know, the medical health care that like we would service them with, and also use that as a form of outreach and ministry.
All right. As we're kind of talking about cardiac emergencies, and you said you lost a coach, one of the ways that we could possibly prevent cardiac problems is taking time to rest and refresh. And last year, about this time, we talked with you and Wade Hopkins about one of the FCA camps. Was it El Lago? What was the
Was that the one in Del Lago? They have one
Del Lago. and Conroe.
Yeah, Palago. They have one at Texas A&M. We are the Christian Sports Medicine is basically the medical provider for all the Fellowship of Christian Athletes camps here in Texas. So we provide all the athletic trainers for their camps. And we have A&M is already full, but we have a 7-on-7 camp in South Texas. We have another FCA camp at Texas A&M Kingsville. We have an FCA camp in Abilene and FCA camp in Lubbock. We have a camp also here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that we're needing athletic trainers for. Need people to volunteer to help us.
All right, so those are an opportunity for people to serve, to do the thing that they already know how to do for and help them see the big picture, help them kind of refresh and remember why we started doing athletic training. Because, you know, so much now is, well, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. But when you get out there and give freely, not mm-hmm. getting paid, then it changes your perspective a little bit, right?
Correct. Right. Yeah, it's... We have people that are working, that are work our A&M camp. This will be their third, maybe fourth year to go back. And just because that is their time. That is their time to get away from the traditional setting, to go down there for 3 to 4 days. And yeah, they're still doing athletics. They're still working a practice, but it's different. They are able to, it really is a refreshing time for them. It's kind of a recharge time for them to go and serve. And to be in an environment that is not like the traditional setting in our high school.
Now, it may be better to send people back to the episode, but Wade was talking about athletic trainers are welcome to the coaches camp that they have there, the FCA camp at Del Lago. And
yes.
Again, that's you said you won't be able to leave there hungry. You know, it's just a refreshing time for the family. You know, there's like a nice pool and all this other stuff. Can you talk a little bit more about that in case someone is looking for the summer, something, a way to relax and refresh?
Yeah, I have had the opportunity to work that as an athletic trainer twice. And, it's probably one of it's a very easy, very laid back. I really don't think I ever did anything while I was there for, you know, the 3 or 4 days I was there. I was intermingled with all the coaches and great speakers, great music. But the thing that, you know, outside of that, the thing that everybody talks about is the food. You eat like royalty. I mean, it is some of the best food that you'll ever have. It's like eating on a cruise ship. You are always eating, and it's just great, great food. But it's just the fellowship, being able to be around probably different coaches you'll never meet or talk to again. But they're all coming together for the same purpose and the same. They're not going to be talking X's and O's. They're not. There's none of that. It's just time for them and their families to get away. To get away from the office, get away from the practice field, get away from the gymnasium, and just to refresh and recharge their batteries. And allow other people, allow the FCA staff to invest in them, to pour their lives into them, and to serve them as coaches.
So if someone's interested in doing something like that, best way is email you at that email you gave earlier or contact you a different way?
Yeah, they'd contact me through the ministry. Just contact me at paul@christiansportsmed.org, or they can go to our website and email us. That specific camp is not listed. That will be on a we'll just have to refer them on to Wade. They can go to www.christiansportsmed.org and just email us and just put in info and just email us and we'll get back to you on that one.
All right,
but
so
everything else is listed. We have international camps. We have international projects. We have, some needs to go to Israel, to the Holy Land, to actually do some teaching at Bethlehem University. It's about a two-week trip. You'll get to go not only teach at Bethlehem University and teach care and prevention of athletic injuries and other topics, but also get to go see some of the holy sites, some of the biblical sites there in Israel.
Now, it's a little late this year, but fundforteachers.org, fundforteachers.org is a way that you could possibly have somebody else pay for this, because I've written a grant from Fund for Teachers and went to a training, but it even says on their deal is people write grants, travel grants to do humanitarian or religious work, right? And so So people looking to go to Israel, go to Belize, go to Africa to do some of this work with CSMA could possibly go to fundforteachers.org. And again, there was a podcast, I should have linked to it, that where we talked to the people from Fund for Teachers about, you know, some of the things you can do, some of the tips and things like that. So maybe I'll try and bring them back and we'll do another episode about grant writing. But there's options, there's ways for you to pay for those things to help you recharge and remember why you do athletic training, because it is so easy for us to get busy, to forget, to get bitter, to, you know, just recently there was a conversation on the secondary school's athletic trainer Facebook group talking about burnout. And it's because, you know, we don't have control over our schedule, or, you know, we just feel, we perceive to not have any sort of control over our job. And so, you know, all that stuff contributes to heart disease and heart problems. So one of the things that came up as we were discussing this and the previous topic, would I be able to go through that heart screen thing as well? Or is it only for the students?
Actually, we could, I mean, and again, that's on another case by case basis. We've had, you know, it'll be, we can't do, you know, your entire faculty. We can't do that. But if we had, you know, one or two of you, if you wanted to get tested, we probably could make that arrangement. We would just need to know in advance and work that through our chief cardiologist, Dr. Artell, and let him know that you're going to be tested. But you know, and like again, that's just on a case by case basis.
All right, and then I have Samaritan Ministries insurance, so it's actually just a Christian cost sharing. So I actually don't have traditional health care. Right. So if I was to have my son go through this, is that something that would work or count against you? I mean, I know you said it's a case by case basis, but again, if somebody has the same insurance as me, then do you have any idea, any experience with that?
I have not had experience with Samaritan's Ministry. I do know, like with health savings accounts, we deal with those. They're a little bit tricky, but with, you know, with the cost sharing ministries like that, I'm not really sure how we work that, but that's something that, you know, again, we could visit with the person if they're in a situation like yourself. If you're in a situation like that, we would have to work that out. And there's always a way. I mean, you know, there's a will, there's a way. We do offer a set fee or a charge if, you know, a parent or people are not in a situation where they're able to pay, you know, the remaining balance, if there is a balance, if they didn't request a waiver, if they request a waiver or they did not request a waiver, there's multiple ways, either through a payment plan or a one-time fee or the waiver form, that we can always work it out.
So lots of different options if you're willing to do the work.
Yep, options, options, options. And it's all about communication. You got to communicate with us and talk with us and we can make it work.
All right. So our physicals, 1 year we had like 60 kids, and the next year I think we had, well, I don't know if it was the next year, but within a couple of years we had like 150 kids. So I'm curious, you know, cause a lot of kids hear, well, I can get my physical at the doctor for free, or, you know, I can only do my physical once a year and my mom doesn't want to pay $20. Schools like that, or like us, that typically don't have a huge, buyout for mass physicals or buy in for mass physicals. Are our numbers going to struggle to reach that 100 mark?
It could, but it also goes back to, I think that, you know, with, you know, possibly with what we're doing is, it's, again, it's all about education. It's putting the information that would help the parents make a decision, a reasonable decision in choice to have cardiac screening. Why do they need to have cardiac screening? The importance of having cardiac screening. So, you know, just, you know, putting in front of them the stories of, you know, here's a situation where a student, you know, never displayed any, never displayed any symptoms, but that's what he passed away from. Well, it could have been tested. I mean, if we would have tested him, we would have known, we would have caught that, or it could have been caught. So, it's just a matter really of educating the parents, because it really, when you think about it, Jeremy, it's brand new. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, it's not like getting a mat. It's not like getting a pre-participation physical. They all know they have to have it to participate in athletics. They don't have to have a cardiac screening to participate. But if we emphasize the need to have that, if you're going to be doing it at your high school, it's a matter of educating your parents, just like educating your parents on concussions and the return to play protocol. It's really just trying to get information in front of them to help them know why it's being done and how it's being done and what's going to be done.
All right. Then I don't know if I heard you. How long after the testing until the results come in?
Okay, good question. If there is an anomaly or if there's a finding during the testing process, say one of your students day one has a finding, it will be immediately sent to our cardiologist through our sonographers. Our cardiologist will read it. And within 24 hours, our cardiologist will contact the parents. If there is no findings, if every one of your students came back healthy and there's no situations, nothing was found, you will receive the test results probably within, I would say, 15 days-ish, just because it would take us time to get them all written up and getting them loaded into the portal. So about 15 to 21 days is when you'll receive that information. But if there is an anomaly, they will be contacted immediately.
So 24 to 36 hours from the time that the test is completed, if there is something that is detected.
Correct.
That's pretty impressive. So,
because we have a team of cardiologists all over the country that are reading these tests. And we have our chief cardiologist. All he does is he specifically reads EKGs. And we have a pediatric cardiologist. We also have a radiologist on staff that work in our office in Florida. That's what they do all day long is read screenings and read tests of these student athletes. And the technology that we have right now that our sonographers bring in is second to none. I mean, everything is done by cloud-based iCloud, so they're immediately available to download it and send it on.
All right. You got anything else you want to share about doing the cardiac screening?
No, I mean, you know, I just appreciate Jeremy letting me come on. I hope that was a little bit, I hope it was informative. Again, if they want to contact me, they can go to just email me at pwaller, W-A-L-L-E-R, at dxtesting.com. And just give us a chance. Let me call you and explain the process a little bit better if I didn't explain it here the way that you want. You may have some questions later on. Just give us a chance to share our program with you so you can have all the information to make that decision.
All right. And then if you're looking to recharge, refresh, help prevent some of the cardiac disease and the bitterness and the just burnout, then you can also contact Paul about volunteering for some of the athletic training camps or going on some of the foreign mission trips or the domestic mission trips, maybe to a different city or state. So you can contact him. Where, Paul?
Contact me at either email me at paul@christiansportsmed.org or at www.christiansportsmed.com. And you can email us on our website. Also, there is a Facebook group that we started back right before Christmas that is completely private. The only people that can read or respond to anything that's posted on that group is people that have joined that group. It's called Beyond the ATR. And it is a Facebook group that is specifically for sharing what's going on in life. Doing life together through Facebook and through, if you have prayer requests, if you have whatever, sharing your favorite verse or just sharing, you know, rants and whatever. But we just want you to be there and to encourage you. It's another aspect of Christian Sports Medicine Alliance that we want to help our fellow athlete trainers, not only here in Texas but across the country.
All right, great opportunities to get your kids tested, to be involved in something outside of your school, to refresh, to remember. Definitely contact Paul, again, christiansportsmed.org, paul@christiansportsmed.org, or pwaller@dxtesting.com for the cardiac screening. Very thorough test, and I feel a lot more at ease or that I understand a lot more than when I was just looking at the flyer, because you know, just like any other athletic trainer. I'm sitting in the athletic training room, I'm reading, so a kid comes in, so I have to get up, deal with that, and go back and try and remember what I'd read, where I was, go back to reading a couple different times. So definitely a very beneficial conversation, and I'll see what we can get going on down here in Pasadena and see.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
All right, so a couple people, Casey Pyle, and the Corpus Christi ISD athletic trainer stepped up and are making the CEUs eligible, or the sports medicine broadcast eligible for CEUs again. But because of the waiting period and posting on the BOC website and stuff like that, the first one will be on March 28th. That first one that'll be eligible for CEUs. So again, I sent that out to the email to the people that have claimed CEUs. It was a big misunderstanding, a problem, and we're working on getting it fixed. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for joining live. I can see there's about 8 people logged in live. I just can't see the names from over here. So thanks for being in there. Thanks for joining. Thanks for being a part of what we're doing to change the way education is done in athletic training. So huge thanks to the people there in Corpus Christi ISD for being willing to help out. And then there were several other people that stepped up and said, hey, I can help you. Hey, I can help you too. So it's really cool to help share life together, as you were just saying, Paul, as athletic trainers. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cardiac screens. That is the web address for this episode. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cardiac screen. And that's where we'll have some of the show notes and some of the links and things like that. I am Jeremy Jackson. I am PHS Sports Med on Twitter. So for Jeremy, Paul Waller from Christian Sports Med, and Wimbledon Athletics. There you go. Wimbledon Athletics doing the cardiac testing. That is a wrap.